Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Well, you may know of CBM, Christian Blind Mission is the full name of that organisation, which has been going for 110 years. You may know it because of the cataract operations, but it does in fact do so much more for people with disabilities in the third world. And recently, Jane Edge saw all that firsthand. She's the CEO, just back from a trip to Africa, where Jane witnessed some of the wonderful work being done there to give people dignity. Jane Edge, welcome to Open House.
Thank you so much, Stephen. Great to be here.
Jane, growing up in Ethiopia with a disability, that is something that guarantees you are going to be the bottom of the rung, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I had the privilege of seeing some of CBM's work very recently and met some extraordinary people. But their stories are harrowing. Children who are neglected. One young woman, Azula, whose life had been turned upside down when she was caught in the crossfire of a shooting incident in a village, lost her parents. So at the age of 6 and 7, she was begging. And when I met her, she will stay with me a long time because she was quite haunted. Her eyes told a story of a lot of trauma and trouble. But slowly trusting again, the community had come together around her through the CBM partnership. And now I see a young woman who has a business, was able to actually secure a house through the CBM partnership and the local government. And I asked her, because that was such a life-changing moment for her, I said, how did it feel to learn you'd got a house? And she said, I cried for 2 days.
Oh, my goodness.
She said, I could not hold the key to put it in the lock. She was so overwhelmed, so overjoyed, so grateful. And she said, you know, I don't have to find the money now to have a safe home. I can build my business. I can now be part of the community, and my neighbours help me by bringing water. From a story that was incredibly desperate, there was this young woman transformed.
Yes, yes.
And that's the life-changing work that's possible in these communities when you are intentional about including people with disability.
So I think we understand, we're starting to understand, and we've come a long way in the last few decades, but we understand a little about what it is to live with a disability in our society. And thankfully, our policies are far more inclusive than they ever used to be. We don't put people in institutions anymore. They're in community homes. We're very deliberate about including their families in their care and welfare. We have schools where we include kids. But if people can think back to what Australia was like in the days when we did exclude, but then magnify that by manyfold, because as I understand it, in Africa, in Ethiopia and other places in Africa, for instance, and other parts of the developing world, in many cases, families are shunned if they have a child with a disability because it's regarded from a superstition point of view.
That's exactly right. So the sense that it's a curse, that they've done something wrong, and that they're being punished is still prevalent in many remote parts of the country. And in fact, I met another woman, Zinabwa is her name, and extraordinary, eloquent, spiritual presence as she is today. But her story was actually as a child developing polio and being chased from her village. So she and her family were forced to flee, and they settled in a township. And you see her now talking about how a wheelchair changed her life, how she's now a role model to other young women. But that story began with being outcast. And like many others that I have encountered, the story is one of being invisible, of if it's not invisible, it is that sense of shame, being neglected. And many people aren't even called by their name. They are called by their disability. So when I met a young man who said to me, this project has changed my world because people call me by my name now. I am not called lame anymore.
Goodness me. So it breaks your heart.
It does break. It breaks my heart when I think of those stories, but it also, the enrichment that comes for persons with disability when they are given a chance to fulfil their potential, their God-given talents are allowed to shine. What I find so extraordinary is the change that happens in the community around them.
Really?
Yes, it's incredible because sometimes people just don't know what to do. So it's breaking down stigma and discrimination. But a recent project that I visited had some local government representatives, and the women said, until this project, people with disability were in the grave. Now they're here.
Yes.
Now we understand what their contribution can be. And they were now getting jobs in that local government structure. They were giving plots for small businesses, and that was the community that was receiving houses.
Well, let's go, but I want to go back a step, because for that to be the case, from a situation where previously kids with disabilities and their families were forced out, were shunned, hated because of some superstitious idea that they were going to bring a curse on the rest of the village. So there's a lot of cultural change to get to the point where even local government authorities and other villagers and communities are prepared to embrace them. That cultural change has taken place over many decades. And CBM, Christian Blind Mission, which is a broadly based disability ministry, as I understand it, CBM has been part of that cultural change, hasn't it, for since the beginning?
Since the beginning. Hmm. So over 110 years ago, a German pastor began this ministry.
Really?
And he was touched by the plight of children in Turkey. And he was responding to children of all disabilities. So that's how CBM came about.
So why was there a German pastor in Turkey 110 years ago?
Well, I think he was on his own journey. He was part of a community that he felt was affluent relative to other parts of the world, and he wanted to start a ministry that was dealing with the poorest people. And I think what I've also learned, if I could share a personal reflection, even though I've been in development over 20-odd years, Stephen, it was only joining CBM that I realised that our efforts globally, even, never mind in small parts of organisations, had overlooked these people with disability because we weren't intentional. So to see the beginnings of CBM, to understand the change that happens, and it does take time, you're right. So CBM is an organisation that works with local partners. We understand that it is only by being part of the local context and community that you work with local leaders, you empower people with disability to become part of conversations, to have a voice at the table. That's when things change. But we're there for the long haul. And that's
clearly
work
with a track record, a century plus.
It's the
so
hard
you go
work.
Into a village like the one in Ethiopia, for instance. Firstly, how is that child's need identified for CBM? How do you identify local partners? What's the process that's involved in you making a decision that you'll now commit to a long-term work with that person and their community?
Great question. So we are always looking for potential partners, and we have a mix from local churches to hospitals to community-based organisations, and they all have particular ministry, and that's the power of the combined effort. We work with them to see what are the needs and support them in making those assessments, and we're always trying to make the linkages then to existing systems and structures, even though they might be very fragile.
But they have to be switched on themselves, I suppose. Initially, they have to understand people with disabilities are God's creation, are made in the image of God, and even before you get to the point of have gifts to share, they are entitled to the dignity of being a child of God, in the image of God. So you find these people, yeah?
We do, and we work with them and raise the awareness and capacity of those local organisations and partners. Mm-hmm. And then it is constant awareness, constant education, and we work with, for example, health extension workers in communities so that they understand what to screen for, what they're looking for. Clubfoot is a great example.
Okay.
So in the remotest parts of the country, in the Ethiopian example, getting parents to commit to what is five-year treatment, in effect, to overcome clubfoot is a challenge. So it's not only getting them to come to the hospital in the first place or the outreach clinic, it's how do you sustain their involvement over that time in a way that breaks down those barriers, breaks down the stigma. So that's the investment to address community attitude, parents' awareness, and continue to engage with as many stakeholders as we can with this core message and ministry of change for people with disability, for and with. Our work is always with those people. I think that's a really important part of how CBN works.
I'm so glad you said that. I love that phrase, for and with. Our guest is Jane Edge. She's the CEO of CBM. Has to be one of the most compelling ministries around. Christian Blind Mission, but known these days as CBM, a broadly based mission ministry for people with disabilities in the developing world. Jane, you mentioned earlier that someone had exuded spirituality or a word like that. There is, of course, a very substantial spiritual component to the work you do. So tell me how that plays out.
Oh, in so many ways. I think when I'm in communities, I'm so aware of the humility and the love that exists. And I think that's one of the things that CBM, throughout its 110-year history,
yes,
has been able to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, of Ernst Christoffel, the pastor who began the ministry, to really put love in action. And what I see is in essence, this continuing effort to build a movement of the heart.
Yes.
So how do we touch people with disability and enable their communities, but equally everyone around them is enriched as a result? Our supporters here in Australia, the radio stations that we partner with, I see it all the time, that the connections that people make, that moment of, oh, okay, now I understand, and here is a way that I can connect. It's part of relationship. It's part of not only relationship with others, but relationship with God, and repairing some of those relationships, restoring people to their rightful place,
yes,
with dignity,
yes,
is extraordinary to see.
So what I've observed locally in disability groups that I've worked with at a local level, and in particular, there's one, I'm the patron of a disability group, Jane, in the Hornsby area in Sydney, which is my former electorate.
Fabulous.
And what I came to understand about that group was that our community wasn't complete until they were contributing to it. And it was actually the disability group itself serving the cohesion and simple joy of living of the entire community. And you watch all the Rotary clubs, everybody gets on board.
Mm.
And in a sense, you see, I think of these disability ministries and organisations as bringing people together in a way that probably very few other organisations can.
It's such an important observation, Stephen. It brings to mind a couple of things. We had a group in Bangladesh, similarly, which is prone to flooding constantly.
Yes.
So one of the efforts there is around disaster risk reduction. How do you prepare? Because you will live with it regularly. And now what's happening is it's the people with disability who hold those key positions. They are supporting the whole community in response to floods, in response to any other disaster that happens. So there is this whole contribution and support network that emerges, and it's the people with disability who are driving it and leading it. And the other example it brought to mind was the ministry that CBM has that we call Luke 14, which is all about encouraging churches to be much more inclusive of people with disability. And so that program is all about, you know, locally, how are we doing that? What does it mean to include people who are blind?
Well, I'm not sure we have a great track record of that in this country.
No, and that's the work, though.
Yeah. That's the work you're doing?
That's the Luke 14 program.
Yeah,
it's
actually
with here in Australia. But it's all about exactly your point. How are we all enriched? How is that all about community? And we can't be a whole community if we are leaving out, you know, the 1 in 7 people globally who have a disability.
We're not complete. I used to say this all the time, and also about schools. Because, you know, I lived through that era of policy where we were just starting to argue the toss about whether kids with disabilities were better placed in a special school over here or integrated with others in the classroom. I think the evidence is in. It's far better the second way. But I remember saying to people, we're not complete as communities, as churches, as Christian schools. We're not complete unless all of the people who God made in his image are part of our world. Mm. So if you leave out half the people, or it's not half, but if you leave out a substantial number of the people and then shun their families, it seems to me that's a transgression of what God has called us to. So this is a spiritual problem, a problem of redemption, lack of reconciliation, if you like.
Indeed. And that's when I...
You got me on my special subject.
Yeah, I love it. I love it because I'm so passionate about this. And it is that restoration.
Mm.
And it is about how we are all enriched as a result.
Mm.
And that sense of bringing people together and ensuring that we are creating those spaces. They don't just happen.
Mm.
We must create them.
Often people don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, you find yourself spending a lot of time educating people on how to talk to a person with a disability. Don't talk to the carer, talk to the person.
Yes.
Put your hand out, shake their hand, say hi, ask them how they're going. Like, and a friend of mine, a dear, dear friend of mine, who's also a friend of this program, Open House, she broke my heart many years ago and she told me that she hardly ever goes to a church that someone doesn't come up and say, can I pray for your healing?
Oh,
she's come to understand, you know, well, not, you know, miracles happen, but she has cerebral palsy. She probably won't be healed this side of heaven. She'll be healed in heaven. Mm. And I think if that's the case in our Western churches, how much more of a problem is it, Jane, in the groups that you work with in the developing world?
There's an element of that, certainly. I probably haven't heard it as strongly, mm. which is interesting.
Mm.
So whether there's a degree, I'm now sort of pondering, whether there's a degree of acceptance also with what is because of the context that most people live in, the complete lack of services, the complete
yes.
lack of access to anything like what we have in Australia.
Yes.
So the spirituality there is about support and solidarity and justice, less than it would be here, in that here you're reflecting that actually, and I've heard it also many times, when people feel they're doing the right thing
mm.
by praying for healing, and yet what it's saying to someone with a disability is, well, actually you're less.
Yes, and you're not spiritual enough, but if you believed enough, then you'd be healed.
Yes. What we at CBM feel we've been called to do is to create the spaces that accept people with disability as they are and enable them to find their voice and contribute in their way. Where it's possible for medical intervention to be helpful, and it can be, then we facilitate
yes.
that. But it's not about healing in the way that you've described.
Well, Jane Edge is with us. She's with CBM. She's the CEO of CBM. And maybe to conclude, a couple of points to note on the way through. Firstly, the healing that takes place is the healing for God's people mm. As we embrace a greater diversity and understand that in accepting everybody, we are accepting Christ.
Yes.
So that's a healing of community. So that's maybe that's a helpful point to resolve some of the dilemma we're just discussing. But secondly, as you said, medical interventions are definitely God's work.
Absolutely.
He's given us the skill to do it. And people will know, in fact, what most people know about CBM is the Miracles Day and the amazing campaign around Australia every year by Christian Radio to bring the miracle of sight back to people with cataracts. And you've been doing that work for a very, very, very long time, haven't you?
We have. It's
yeah.
A strength of CBM. It's been going for many decades. And it's to see someone have the patch taken off after a cataract surgery, which happens in 10 minutes
mm.
In some of the clinics that I've seen, is just incredible. To hear grandmothers talk about how they can care for the grandchildren, their children can return to work, they can cook. For them, that is such a life-changing moment, and it changes the life of the whole family.
Yes.
So CBM's work is not only in that moment of the surgery, but it's the training of surgeons. I mean, I met an ophthalmologist. There we go. I'll get the word
out.
It's one of
the shocking words in
English. It's a tough one. I should know it by now.
It's probably not even English. It's probably Greek or something, isn't it?
And he'd been doing surgeries for a decade. And again, it's that kind of support and training that is all part of what a CBM program delivers. How do we screen? How do we ensure the local partner can bring people with a sight impairment into a hospital setting or conduct outreach clinics? It's all part of the program. So mm. much goes in to performing that 10-minute surgery, but it is an extraordinary gift.
And it's all done within this with this embedded sense that you're doing it for the love of God in the name of Christ, mm. and that's an ongoing relationship between you God himself and the people you're serving, as well as the cataract operations, what other kinds of medical interventions is CBM supporting?
Mm. So one of the things that I found very powerful in that recent visit was our work in orthopedics. So particularly
around you mentioned club foot,
yeah. For example, prosthetics when children require them. To see what improved mobility can do, to meet a mother who, you know, and I met a number sitting in a very busy space in a hospital in Addis, and they talked about really not believing that there was an answer to their child's condition, and they'd had to be persuaded. Some had travelled hours to come. And this Ponseti method, which is actually quite simple, which is about putting the children in a brace, casts and a brace, but it takes, you know, a few years, and the child needs to be, for the best outcome, seen before they're 12 months.
Yep.
So they've got to keep coming back. But again, that's an outcome that changes the life chances of a child.
Absolutely.
And their family.
Yes.
And I was learning that, you know, there are 5,000 new cases a year. There's a backlog of children needing surgery. And in, the remote parts of the country, getting that awareness up is really key. So that's an example of the sort of medical work CBM does. And the prosthetics is another very powerful part of the work. And, of course, we know about the variety of sight-saving work, whether it's cataracts, trachoma, prevention, and there's occasionally sight surgery required in that. Very, very simple surgery, but restoring someone to sight after a lot of pain. Trachoma is a very difficult condition. So there's some of the examples of where CBM's medical support has been extremely powerful in its impact.
Well, it's exciting to have heard a little bit about your world, and I hope we can talk again about some of the other things that you see in the course of your job, which sounds like a dream job. I mean, I know it's hard, but, you know, and as a leader, I just want to thank you for being part of the Christian leadership of organisations that are making a difference in this country. So, Jane Edge, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much, Stephen. It's been such a pleasure.
Jane Edge of CBM, Christian Blind Mission, and a wonderful organisation it is. And what a delight to meet with Jane. And we'll catch up with her from time to time. Love to hear more of her stories about working in the developing world.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.